Chapter 4. Perhentian Kecil Island, Terengganu, Malaysia, July 2, 2017, 12:52 p.m. About 4 hours after they'd accepted Olorun's offer, Shigidi and Noma were back in their private beachside villa. It was a large, white-walled open space with a queen-sized bed in the middle, pushed up against the stone divider with wide gaps on either side, leading to the toilet and bathroom. Both were open to a grass-covered wall through a glass barrier. There were no paintings on the walls or any decoration, save for a couple of large, dried-out seashells that hung on the stone divider like charms. It was meant to invoke feelings of being close to nature, but Noma thought the place just looked pretentious, especially given the price they were paying per night. They quickly folded, squeezed, and threw their few belongings into the large blue travel box they shared, which was at the center of the bed. All thoughts of taking the spirit of the tattooed woman they'd seen on the beach were long gone. They didn't speak much. They hadn't exchanged many words since they'd left the beach. But the tension in the room was building steadily, and Noma didn't like it. Every time they brushed past each other and he averted his eyes, her skin tingled. When they eventually had their possessions packed, they both reached for the handle to close it at the same time. Their hands met on the cold plastic. They froze and looked at each other, finally locked in each other's orbit after drifting around for so long. She caught the querying look in his eye and she knew what was coming next, even before Shigidi squeezed her hand, making her feel like she was about to lose hold over her body and explode into a million fragments. "You never answered," Shigidi said, like an accusation.
Answered what?
"Noma, do you love me?"
he asked again, his jaw clenched tight, as it always did when he was stressed, even when he was asleep. It sometimes escalated to his grinding his teeth loud enough to wake her. She sighed and closed her eyes.
"Why do you keep asking this? Why does it matter so much?"
And the moment she asked the question, she regretted it. He withdrew his hand from hers, and underneath the hard lines of his face and the dark brown of his skin, she thought she saw Shigidi redden.
"It's fine. I understand if you don't love me. This was always a business arrangement first," he said. "But I think you feel more than you are letting on, and I don't understand why, if you love me, you won't say it, or say if you don't. Abby, is that so complicated?"
The hairs all over her body stood on end. His words made her suddenly feel fragile, too fragile, and she resented it.
"I love being with you, Shigidi," she blurted out hastily, sinking so that she sat on the bed.
He was still standing, leaning forward with his hands on the box. She shifted her weight on the bed towards him.
"You know that. I know that. You know it's more than business between us. You say you don't understand why I won't say the words. I don't understand why you keep asking the question. Why is this so important to you all of a sudden? Besides," she added, "you knew exactly what I was when we met, when you agreed to this partnership."
She watched as Shigidi furrowed his brow and sat down, tilting his heavily muscled torso away from her without breaking his gaze. She ran her eyes along his frame, scanning and parsing his body language. It was a game she was used to playing, and now she played it with a body that she herself had given him. She knew he would break the silence just a few moments before he actually did.
"Yes, I know what you are," he said, the timbre of his voice elevated with earnestness. "I know your nature. I heard of your kind since I was first molded into shape and given the spark of life. But I have spent time with you, tested spirits with you, listened to you. I, Sabi, you know personally. You're more than a succubus. I know you and I love you, but right now I'm not sure what we are to each other."
"We are partners," she said. "It's that simple. Partners." She hoped the purpose of her repetition was not lost on Shigidi. It was something she did sometimes, a habit she had developed and constantly applied during discussions, especially during negotiations. She used it as a verbal indication that she had gone as far as she was willing to go and would go no further. Shigidi should understand that by now. She'd given him a signal to end the conversation, and she hoped he had received it. Her full lips still pursed, she leaned back and pulled loose the elephant print, sheer beach cloth around her waist, as if she had filled up with emotion and needed more space. Shigidi snorted, apparently acknowledging the impasse they had reached. But he said nothing more. He just sat there, scowling. Noma tried to assess his thoughts. She knew he was unsatisfied, that he didn't understand her reaction to his question. But he couldn't know. He couldn't find out how steep the cost of romantic love between independent spirit entities could be. That it was stifling, restrictive and binding. He couldn't know that it had already cost her a sister. But he should have known enough to stop asking. Love had almost cost him his life. She wondered if he regretted the day they met, regretted falling so deeply for such a beautiful and terrible creature as she. Silence settled between them, and she refused to break it. Finally, Shigidi stood up, peeled away his orange and blue swim trunks, and kicked them away to the far corner of the room near the bathroom, as if they had offended him. "Partners!" His voice was hoarse. "Yes, partners. That's what we agreed. In that case, let's finish packing. We need to get to London. We have a job to do." He picked a soft white towel up from the couch, and Noma took in his nakedness, an artist admiring her work. She took in the thick elevation of his pectorals, between which was engraved a scar the size of a man's hand. The row of elevated abdominal muscles around his torso were as chiseled and firm as his taut buttocks. She followed the rounded ends of his fingertips as he grasped the towel, as a solid beam of sunlight squeezed through the window and touched the hollow of his belly. Shigidi was beautiful. She had made him this way, remolding the clumsy, craftless work of the executive Orisha into something, no, someone, spectacular. Someone who had fallen hopelessly in love with her, endangering himself, endangering them both. She stood up, allowing her sheer beach cloth to pool around her feet. "Shigidi, darling, are you really angry?" she asked, attempting to lighten the mood. "I'm not angry," he said. But she could see the strain of damming up all the emotions that had built up. "We are partners. We take and share spirits. We have sex sometimes. We take the contracts we need to pay our debts, and we generally get the job done. That's it, Abby. I get it. No wahala. It's all clear." She raised her left hand and pointed a finger at him. "Then what's the point of all these questions, love?" "I don't know, but I don't want to argue with you anymore," he growled. "It's getting us nowhere, and we have a flight to catch." She stepped forward until she was barely a breath away from him. "Is this going to affect our ability to work together?" "Of course not. Like you said, we're partners." "You're still angry," she said. "Of course I am." His voice was still low, but carrying a caustic undercurrent. "Noma, this is the first time I have asked you for anything that wasn't part of our agreement since we met. I have opened myself up completely to you. I have literally been torn open for you. But you have never opened yourself up to me. Not even a little. Fine, I understand you're a succubus. It's in your nature to play these games with sex and power and emotion and desire. I know all that. And yet here I am, like a fool, like a mumu, willingly falling into your web. Fine, I love you. Let me lie in that web. Now me do myself. But I ask this one simple thing, and you refuse to say either way." His fists had balled up while he spoke, his knuckles pale and crackling with barely restrained electric green spirit particles. Noma closed her eyes. She was filled with a confusing mix of emotions at his outpouring. It reminded her of ages past, a time when whole cultures had prayed to her and her sister, mistaking them for twin elemental goddesses, executives of some spirit company that had operated in their lands. There was something both frightening and intoxicating about Shigidi's need. It was a heady mix, and it induced in her a feeling she hadn't experienced in centuries. But it also brought back memories. Memories of her sister Lilith and what had happened to her when she fell in love. Noma liked neither the memories nor the feeling that was like an embrace of emptiness. And so she did the first thing that thousands of years of developed instinct drove her to do. She reached for Shigidi, cradled his tense face in her hands, and on her tiptoes, shut him up with a kiss. Shigidi didn't pull away, even though Noma suspected he wanted to. She could feel the vibration of his body under her touch, the tightening of his facial muscles. She projected her essence out into the room, manipulating the potent sexual desire he was emitting so that it resonated even more powerfully. They both knew what she was doing. She taught him most of her tricks. But she suspected he would be so intoxicated with the taste of her lips that it would erode what was left of his resistance. He wouldn't want to fight this. And so, when he fell into her, wrapping his arms around the soft, exposed flesh of her waist with an intensity like hunger, she was not surprised. Their tongues wound together as though the kiss would bind them completely again, bridge the space that his questions and her silence had opened between them. They sank to the floor slowly, Shigidi kissing her nape as they descended. On the floor, he wedged himself between her legs and righted his posture, leaning on her thighs. She pulled his head back down into her chest and held him there for a moment. "Damn it, Noma," he whispered breathlessly into her bosom. She wondered at how easily he had let her win this game. Perhaps it was why they had worked so well together, his perpetual willingness to forgo the thing he wanted for the thing he needed. For her. And that willingness, was the essence of the danger of what he wanted from her. "I will not be my sister." Their lovemaking was urgent, frenzied, and intense, like the beating of drums she'd heard at the New Yam Festival in Orca. With every touch and thrust of his hips, she felt him trying to share all that he was with her, reconnect with her completely. It reminded her of their very first coupling, through which she had transformed him so thoroughly, given him so much and birthed their partnership. But deep down she knew that the strain would remain until she gave him an answer. The fissure that had always existed between them had now opened wider and exposed all the need and doubt and fear beneath the veneer of their partnership. And now that it was exposed, it would continue to fester and grow until it became a chasm of unfulfilled needs and unrequited desire that could force them apart. And so she closed her mind and focused on his body, on all the ways she had learned he liked to be pleasured, playing the body she'd given him like it was an instrument, every spike of his own sensual joy reverberating with hers. By the time they finished, his question had been pushed back into the recesses of her brain by the tidal wave of pleasure and contentment. Shigidi fell asleep first, and she watched him with heavy eyes as the line of his jaw moved and he began to make a sound like the sawing of wood. He was grinding his teeth again. He still bothered, stressed. Noma gripped his jaw between her thumb and index finger, pulling downward to stop the sound. Shigidi turned away from her and tossed his head back and forth. She lay back in bed and closed her eyes. It was no use trying to stop his tossing or grinding. He'd fallen into another deep, deep sleep full of vivid memory visions that came to him like dreams, even though she knew dreaming was impossible, for a former nightmare god.